Do you know how old your water heater is? If it's 10 to 15 years old, it may be time to switch to the savings, comfort, and reliability of a new high-efficiency model, because nobody wants to experience a breakdown in the middle of winter. If your equipment is getting near the end of its lifespan, now is a great time to make the switch. Take advantage of National Grid's increased incentives and save up to $300 on select natural gas water heaters. That's an extra $50. Learn more at ngrid.com/nyc-waterheating.
All right, to celebrate my 10-year anniversary with my wife, I promised her I would wear this shirt tonight for the show. She actually bought it for me, and you're probably saying to yourself, wait a minute, you know, she always knocks me when I get a little bit too cocky. So why would she buy me a shirt that says, I don't need Google? You will not see me wear this shirt in public. Hey, man, I want to get laid. No. Yeah, she does know everything. I kind of think I do pretty good on these shows, though. People are starting to figure out what we've been saying for a few weeks now, that the Wyatt Six is not a faction. It's the six shades of Bray. It is his mind. And well, look, it's going to be fun to watch that play out. Tonight on Raw, wow, kind of a mixed bag. The Miz with some chair shots that would make Hulk Hogan proud. I have the video. Oh, my God. What the fuck was that? I don't know if everyone out there caught that. That was awful. You know, not awesome, awful. Also, is it just me? Or did Oklahoma City not give a rat's ass about Elias's return? I mean, even when he was in the ring and he said, because WWE stands for, nobody fucking did it. I mean, I understand, you know, a short memory span, but oh my God, that was awful. I honestly thought that at the end of the night, since Elias being at ringside during the match between Seth Rollins and Riddle for the United States Championship, obviously Elias was going to get involved. I honestly thought that Elias was going to knock out Riddle with the guitar for being a little bit of a goof. Don't interrupt my concert. And then that causes Riddle to go this way. Seth Rollins goes this way. If you haven't figured it out, we may get Seth Rollins versus Mustafa Ali in Saudi Arabia. Expect a 20-minute match, a barn burner. We're not going to do predictions tonight, but some of the matches that we saw coming are starting to. I'm surprised that people still haven't figured out why they're suddenly building Omos versus Braun Strowman. I mean, you look around social media, nobody has a fucking clue. That is for Saudi Arabia. And there's a few other matches. We got five rumored matches for Saudi Arabia, which we'll get into a little bit later. We will also preview the Tuesday Night War that is going to happen tomorrow. NXT versus AEW. Some of the NXT matches with some WWE wrestlers mixed in. We did get the answers tonight. I think the only one we don't know yet is who is going to face Stax. Who did Tony D'Angelo pick to face Stax? I still think Omos is a dark horse. No, that's not meant in any other way other than a phrase. Some morons out there. Trust me, I see that coming. And we don't know if Quincy Elliott has a match, who his opponent's going to be. Let me tell you something, if Quincy Elliott has a match and it goes up against Jericho versus Dalton Castle, you know, we're going to be celebrating there. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about, an unfortunate death in the world of pro wrestling, but 85 years old, man, hey, I want to live to be 65 and I'll kind of be happy. You live to be 85. I think you've had a beautiful life. So we'll celebrate that a little bit. Now, before I get into anything, keep Triple H in your thoughts and prayers. He is positive right now for COVID-19. Now, you know, it blew my mind that people were more concerned about who was going to creatively handle Raw tonight. You know, do people over the last 2.5+ years, do they understand how serious COVID could be for not only anybody over the age of 50? 9 out of 10 people who die from COVID are above the age of 50. Not only that, if you have a secondary medical condition, just because Triple H feels like $1 million, that motherfucker had some major heart issues. So just because he feels fine and, you know, he's not, you know, dealing with much with symptoms, you know, the fact that he has the comorbidities, look, I think at the end of the day, Triple H will get through this and be fine. But when you realize how serious his heart issues were, he was on his deathbed. You get COVID, you got to be really fucking careful. You got to be really careful. How many of you out there know someone older who got COVID and they felt pretty good, and then a couple of days later, you know, things went south? Am I saying that's going to happen with Triple H? No, I'm not clickbaiting it, but keep them in your thoughts, because the comorbidities alone is got to keep you concerned. This is not a walk in the park. So let's pray. You know, even if you don't pray, you know, let's wish Triple H a speedy recovery. Hopefully by next week, he could be back at the helm. Right now, he's got to take care of that. JBL making his rumored return to WWE. And yes, sausage continues to be cooked, everyone. Who remembers this sausage on August 1st when I wrote more nostalgic appearances from others after Booker T's cameo on Raw? And if you remember that, August 1st, sausage, Triple H, excuse me, and WWE. See, now I'm getting the COVID cough. See, I fucked up. Triple H and WWE preparing to address the women's tag team titles. That announcement is imminent. And lo and behold, less than 4 days later, we were the only ones that broke that. You remember? We were the only ones. All we need is Sasha Banks and Naomi to return by day one or the Royal Rumble, whichever one comes first. Even though Saudi Arabia really wants Sasha Banks badly, doesn't seem like that's going to happen. But, hey, you never know. You never know. There I am. Speaking of Sasha Banks, you know, I don't want to go out of place, but you know what? I'm sure some of you out there wouldn't mind a little bit of Sasha Banks eye candy, maybe a little bit of Kathy Kelly eye candy. And we're not trying to be little pervs or hornballs here, but you know, when you post like beautiful pictures of yourselves and you want everybody to see it, I guess there's nothing wrong with reposting it, right? We're not like hacking into anybody's phones, but for those that are interested, Sasha Banks currently in Los Angeles. They're doing like model week in LA, and she was actually doing the runway October 13th and October 14th. This picture right here is October 13th. Check out the new hair color. We touched on it yesterday. I have a close up. We'll give you a close up in a minute. But, you know, some people are saying she's a redhead. I don't consider that redhead. I almost look at it like copper. I was trying to find the right word yesterday when we were talking about her on the sit down. I think copper might be the way to go. That's not Little Mermaid red. Look at the Little Mermaid's hair color and look at this. It's not even close. But that was her on October 13th. This was her on October 14th, hubba, 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 hubba. You know, the quote, Big Daddy Kane, So that is her, and there's the close-up. There's the close-up of her hair. You know, she's doing good. I didn't see Naomi on this one, which is interesting, because lately, wherever Naomi goes, Sasha Banks, well, wherever Sasha Banks goes, wait, that's not Sasha. That's a prize we're giving away later. There you go. There's Sasha. That's a little bit of a better picture. I think bronze, copper, might be the way to go. So that is Sasha Banks' new hair color. Would she return with that color? Yeah, I think so. I think anything is possible. But a few of you were asking about Kathy Kelly. If you didn't see Raw tonight, Kathy Kelly made her return. We talked about her and all the announcer, backstage interviewers, commentators. We talked about all the changes a few weeks ago, but she was there interviewing Riddle. And look, nice to see her back. Always gave us that warm feeling, always upbeat, smiling. Now that feeling for some of you might be a little bit changed because, that's what she was wearing tonight. That's the whole outfit. Wow. Much different the way she looks. Thigh-high boots, wearing all that white, kind of like showing everyone, I don't have a bra underneath, or I have some, Good for her, man. You got it. Flaunt it. Be proud of it. Be proud of it. Kathy Kelly back on television from WWE Raw. So pretty cool week. Seeing Kathy Kelly back, to see Renee Paquette now in AEW. And look, tomorrow on NXT, Rhea Ripley makes her return to the ring. First time she is in the ring in about 4 months. Now, a story came out about the details behind her medical condition. I'm not going to talk about it here because I want to do some research first and I want to see if she actually released that information. If this is just somebody posting info, because, when you get to medical stuff like that, it's very private. But she's good to go. And tomorrow, she's actually going to be wrestling Roxanne Perez. I think there was a little bit of confusion on Friday. We thought that Roxanne Perez's pick is going to take on Cora Jade's pick, and they're going to have a match on NXT tomorrow. No, it is two separate matches. Roxanne Perez picked Raquel Rodriguez, which we talked about on Friday. We figured it would be her. Cora Jade today ended up picking Rhea Ripley, and Rhea Ripley accepted the opportunity to beat the shit out of Roxanne Perez a little bit. Why not? So Rhea Ripley will be on NXT live tomorrow night. So we'll do the full preview later, but there is a little bit of controversy. There is some controversy about tomorrow night. No, it's not just AEW versus NXT. But another match was confirmed for tomorrow night. Now, if you remember last Wednesday's Dynamite episode I did, we were talking about NXT from last Tuesday. And Cameron Grimes, needed to pick a tag team to team up with him for this week's NXT to take on a Schism, Joe Gacy and a Dyad. So Cameron Grimes was talking about how he has no friends in NXT. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have friends outside of NXT. Guys, gals, did it feel like tonight that Cameron Grimes was friends with AJ Styles or the OC? Because this was very, very random. Cameron Grimes is like, hey, OC, want to team up with me? And they're like, cash only. Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it. So, look, that's a great fucking match. The OC and Cameron Grimes versus the Schism tomorrow, I'll take it. But there is some controversy. Not only is that match set for tomorrow, but another match was set for Crown Jewel. Now, like I said, we have three confirmed matches and another four or five that are heavily rumored. We'll get into all of them later. But I'm going to show you one match for now. They have confirmed that at Crown Jewel, you're going to get the OC versus the Judgment Day. Now, there's a little bit of confusion because is this 3-on-3 or is it possibly Gallows and Anderson versus Finn Balor and Damian Priest? Honestly, I think it's going to be 3-on-3. Dominic Mysterio, probably with the biggest upset that we have seen in pro wrestling as far as a legit match. No clusterfuck finishes, even though Rhea Ripley did grab AJ's leg. But Dominic Mysterio getting a win today over AJ Styles. Dominic Mysterio's biggest match of his career. And let me tell you something. We have been singing the praise for Dominic for quite some time now. People are starting to catch up with that. But you know what? He held his own today with AJ Styles. Is Dominic Mysterio one of my favorites? No, not even close. But you got to give the guy credit. He has really been doing a great job in this role. I can't criticize it at all. But here's the controversy. Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia is November 5th. Saturday, November 5th. Well, also Saturday, November 5th, is New Japan's autumn event in Osaka, Japan. And Carl Anderson is booked for that event to take on Hikuleo, Hikulea, blah, 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 blah. Hikuleo versus Carl Anderson and New Japan. Wait, what happened to the working relationship that everybody was trying to guess? So it looks like, Carl Anderson will probably not be defending the Never Openweight Championship at that event. And that's a big event for New Japan. That is not no small little, house show. So let's see what happens. Do they strip Carl Anderson of the championship? Could happen. Personally, let me say this. Carl Anderson has had a pretty decent relationship with New Japan. And I don't think New Japan is going to strip him of the championship unless they cannot figure out a way to get Carl Anderson into Japan to defend that championship and drop it to someone. And look, sometimes you don't want the championship dropped immediately because it's too predictable. Now, New Japan does have shows in the States. So, let's put it this way. When was the last time, FTR defended the IWGP tag titles? I mean, I'm sure they have, but none of us have really been thinking about it all that much. So why does Carl Anderson have to defend it? Or that be done now? He must do it. Otherwise, strip him. No, I think, you know what? Hey, you can't make this appearance. You schedule him for another day, But hey, who knows? I guarantee you, if Carl Anderson was signed to AEW and Carl Anderson was not going to Japan anytime soon, I'm sure people would let him hold that championship 2, 3, 4 months. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's all right. So shout out to, who sent this? Theme Parks and Things with Johnny with the 5-spot. Carl should come out with the strap on Crown Jewel, but it won't happen. You know why it won't happen? It's not even a WWE thing, but you're coming out with the OC. AJ Styles does not currently have a belt. Luke Gallows doesn't currently have a belt. So for Carl Anderson to come out and the only person with a title right now, I think everybody's eyes would be on that. So I don't think they should do that, even if there was a working relationship. No, I don't think he, and again, we're not talking about the heavyweight championship. This is the, the Never Openweight Championship, which is not a bullshit title. It's a decent belt. But for the everyday viewer, it's not a belt that's on everybody's minds. I think people who don't like WWE are more incensed about this than anything else. I feel bad for Hikuleo. I mean, I'm sure he was really looking forward to this, especially if he was going to win that championship. So we'll see what happens. But there is a little bit of controversy there. Carl Anderson double booked for November 5th. We don't get double booked reports much anymore if you really think about it. So how's everybody doing? How was your weekend? I hope everybody had a great weekend. Tonight's episode of Raw, like I said, a little bit of a mixed bag. I think overall I enjoyed it very much. The Baron Corbin attire was interesting to say the least. And if people don't know why I am referencing Baron Corbin, the last time we had seen Baron Corbin, he got into a limousine. Me at that time, it didn't sound like JBL to me, but I remember the horns and everything else. But you know what? As you think about it, this is a dream come true for Baron Corbin. Believe it or not, everyone, Baron Corbin loved JBL's character growing up. We just saw WWE on those biography specials talking about Hogan and Edge teaming up as a tag team back in 2002 when they won the WWE Tag Team Championships. You know, and you understand the backstory there. So Baron Corbin getting the opportunity to have JBL by his side for at least a month, you know, not every single week, but, you know, JBL will be there for a little while. You got to feel good for the guy. You know, I'm not a Baron Corbin fan. You know, maybe this change will grow on me a little bit. But Baron Corbin now is officially a member of the Raw roster. Rey Mysterio on Friday SmackDown was moved. And as a result, where's the post? Do I have the post? Yes, I do have the post. The post. As revealed by JBL, he was not happy to break the news in Oklahoma City, but Baron Corbin, as a result of Rey Mysterio going to SmackDown, he has been traded to Raw. My only question is, who was trading these two guys? We don't have a GM for Raw. We don't have a GM for SmackDown. All right. So it's Triple H basically moving one to the other. But Baron Corbin is now on the Raw roster. Okay, a few of you out there want to see what Baron Corbin was wearing. There you go. There you go. JBL, hey, you know, he's obviously aged substantially. You look at his face up close. I see him a lot in the business world talking finance. And, you know, you could see he's aged quite a bit. But, you know, hey, you know, JBL definitely got a reaction when he came out there. A lot of people despised JBL's character back in the day, but he got a fucking reaction. And remember what I said yesterday on the sit down, the worst thing anybody can ever have in the wrestling world is indifference. If you are a wrestler, if you are a character on TV, if the fans are indifferent about you and they just sit on their hands and they don't react one way or the other, that is worse than go away heat. Because at least with go away heat, the fans are annoyed enough that they're actually saying something or voicing their opinion about it. Indifference means you're not even worth me to like fart. You're not even worth me to say, what the fuck is this guy doing on my TV? So JBL would get a reaction. And JBL tonight really putting down Oklahoma City, got some good heat for Corbin. But I tell you, Corbin's attire kind of was overshadowed for me. What the fuck was up with JBL's pants? Did he like borrow Omos's pants? I don't know if anybody saw that. That is not a 2022 in trend. And especially when you come out there like a millionaire, billionaire oil tycoon, this motherfucker, I don't know what happened. Maybe he was in catering. Maybe he bent down to pick up a fork and he tore his pants. And maybe they didn't have anything else. I don't know. But that's awful. I mean, it was literally, I was looking at this up close. I'm like, what the fuck is up with his pants? Even the suit. It's not his suit. Maybe his, you know what? Maybe his luggage was lost at the airport, but that was not his stuff. That's not even like a costume in like in WWE in their dressing rooms. They must have had to get an emergency. I'm sure JBL is going to comment about it. But oh my God, I was looking at that outfit. I'm like, there's only one thing that could overshadow Baron Corbin's return and his appearance, and it's JBL's outfit. Tonight, Baron Corbin made his return, beat Dolph Ziggler. Not a bad match. You know, crowd was into it a little bit. Tell you the truth, crowd was into Baron Corbin as a heel more than Elias. Elias got no reaction. And Elias's return confused the fuck out of me because it felt like he was going heel. And, you know, the fact that what went down in the main event, I don't know. I just like, I know Saudi Arabia is not, we want Elias. You know, WWE stands for walk with Elias. We want to walk with Elias. We want Elias to take. I mean, we're going to get Elias versus Saudi. I don't think so. Not in Saudi Arabia. Like, why? Is that a match anybody wanted to see? I don't know. just did was not feeling Elias's return tonight. You know what else I was not feeling? This Dexter Lumis Miz stuff. Now there's a new twist. Johnny Gargano, he showed up with a whistle. First, he trolled the Miz. For those that don't know, as I showed you earlier, Kathy Kelly was interviewing Matt Riddle in the back. Matt Riddle bumped into Mustafa Ali, who got into it a little bit earlier with Seth Rollins, which we'll discuss in a little bit. But as they're walking by, suddenly we hear somebody writhing in pain, and it's the Miz. And the Miz is on the floor. He's holding his knee. He thinks he tore his MCL, his PCL, his ACL, his LCL, whatever the fuck it is. And he can't fight Dexter Lumis tonight. So he's in a locker room. He gets interviewed by Byron Saxton. He's selling. And you know what? Miz is a tremendous actor. I mean, very, very believable. But the door opens up, and it's Johnny Gargano. And the Miz gets spooked. The Miz thought that Dexter Lumis opened the door. So when Johnny Gargano opened the door, the Miz hopped up, and you realized he has no injury. So the Miz is pissed off with Johnny Gargano. So later on, towards the latter part of Raw, we see Miz and Johnny Gargano again. And this time, Johnny Gargano's got a whistle. And he's like, Miz, you want out of this match? Tell the truth. Tell the truth about him and Dexter Lumis. And then Johnny Gargano's talking about like, oh, well, you know, if this happened, then there would be no Miz and Mrs. and you'd be out on the street and we would own this. So are they going towards Miz and Maryse versus Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae? It was all over the place. And Johnny Gargano's like, look, if you don't tell the truth, see this whistle? I'm going to blow it. So now we're thinking, okay, there's a little twist going on here. But we're supposed to get a match tonight. Where's Adam Pearce? Miz, you're clear. You must have this match. What ends up happening is Dexter Lumis comes out for the match. I got a video in a moment. And if Dexter Lumis wins, he has a contract with WWE. If Dexter Lumis loses, he is gone from WWE. So we know where this is going. Dexter Lumis is getting a contract. But when he comes out for his match, all right, I have to show it to you in two pieces. Let me pull it up. Let me get it. Hang on, I got it right here. Where are you? Oh, here it is. Here it is. So here's Dexter Lumis. He's coming out for his match, and, you know, he's ready, and okay. So he's about to have his match. And here comes the Miz. Jambash! Now, I'm putting the audio on. I'm putting the audio on because you gotta not only listen to these chair shots, but you gotta look closely. Look at the top of the chair. Miz was hitting the ground. This, I'm a big Miz fan. You know all that. You all know that. Excuse me, that's better grammar. But look at this. This is awful. Look at these chair shots closely. Look at this. Ready? Watch this.
Oh, what is it's the Miz.
All right, that first one. Now watch.
They were supposed to go one-on-one.
He's hitting. He's not even touching Dexter Lumis. Look, go further. Look.
The Miz is just...
That is beyond awful. When I saw that, I said, this would make Hulk Hogan proud. Anybody remember this magical moment on WCW television? On Nitro, look. He made Hulk Hogan proud. We got to show that one more time. Look, look, watch. Listen. Oh, my God. What the fuck was that, Miz? I mean, I understand you want to protect your opponent. But why couldn't Dexter Lumis just get some chair shots to the back? Now, and you could see he was going further up. Like, he hit the first two, and then he just was like, no, let me just hit the floor. I don't know, man. There was a few moments tonight that were very, very cacas. So, yeah, so the match never happened. So now this goes to next week. And look, Miz and Gargano ultimately are going to have a match, but who knows? Are we going to get a mixed tag match down the line? It could very well happen. It could very well happen. So let's put this all together a little bit. Tonight on Raw, obviously the matches that they were talking about was obviously The Miz versus Dexter Lumis, which did not happen. It didn't happen. So, you know, I don't think they ran out of time. You got 3 hours. You know, they did a lot with Elias and Riddle with bongos and stuff like that. Another match that they advertised, the OC, they defeated Alpha Academy with the Magic Killer on Chad Gable. You know, this was a decent match. This actually opened up Raw as far as matches go. We'll talk about Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley in a moment. But after this match is over, you have the Judgment Day come out. And Finn Balor is making fun of them. And he's like, too sweet, too sweet, too sweet. I created you. I created this club. I started this club. I made it. I could break it. And next thing you know, we got some insults going back and forth. A challenge was issued and accepted. Judgment Day versus the OC at Crown Jewel. And AJ Styles taking a couple of shots. But then when he made fun of Rhea Ripley, calling Rhea Ripley like the mother of the team, Dominic was pissed the fuck off. You don't talk to her like that. So now Dominic Mysterio and AJ Styles are exchanging some words. And AJ is like, how's about I kick your ass tonight on Raw? So AJ Styles challenges Dominic Mysterio. And Dominic Mysterio says, I'm going to tear you limb from limb. And then AJ Styles, with the same line that Edge said a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to do to you what your dad should have done to you. And I'm going to beat the piss out of you. So we ended up getting that match a little bit later. And as we said earlier, Dominic Mysterio getting the win. And in this match, this is now becoming a regular thing, everyone. If you want to piss off your fans or the wrestling fans, any match that you do, you have to mock Eddie Guerrero. That's it. You just do that. That's it. You just mock Eddie and the crowd will boo. That is like a go-to now. Happens all the time. Especially if it's someone that is indirectly feuding with Rey Mysterio or has a connection to Rey Mysterio. So, again, you know, Dominic Mysterio tonight, you got to give him credit, man. He went toe-to-toe with AJ Styles. I mean, it was a fruit roll-up finish. You know, Rhea Ripley grabbing AJ Styles' leg at the end of the match and AJ focusing on Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio with the fruit roll-up. But listen, AJ Styles, that's called giving the rub big time for somebody on their way up. And I'm telling you, Dominic Mysterio, you're going to start seeing sausage, everyone. You're going to get wrestling news sites. I guarantee you, you'll get it this week, especially after him beating AJ Styles. You're going to get wrestling news sites that are going to report. Our sources tell us that the vibe in WWE is very, very high on Dominic Mysterio, and a lot of wrestlers feel that Dominic Mysterio is really excelling in his role and getting a lot of praise from the veterans within WWE. Our sources tell us. Guarantee you that shit comes out. Because it's true. It's almost common sense at this point. You know, they put Dominic Mysterio under the wing of Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley and Finn Balor, and he's doing a great job. You know, is he going to main event anytime soon? No. But the day that Dominic Mysterio gets a championship title, ooh, ooh, as long as it's not the 24-7 title, as long as it's not the 24-7 title. The main event that they were teasing tonight was Seth Rollins defending the United States Championship against Matt Riddle. Excellent match. These two guys really work well together. Now, a couple of things about this. It's not going to happen on television overnight. But very, very slowly, WWE is going to start planting little crumbs to eventually turn Seth Rollins, not full-blown babyface, but pretty much a babyface. They tested it on the house shows this weekend. They had him going up against Austin Theory, and the crowd really, really was behind Seth Rollins. They're testing it at house shows. But we have Crown Jewel coming up, and Seth Rollins is going to be a Crown Jewel. And obviously, Mustafa Ali is going to get a high-profile match at Crown Jewel. And that's why right now, Seth Rollins, not yet going, you know, really towards the babyface route. But if you listen closely to Seth Rollins' promo tonight, you know, when Seth Rollins came out, you know, he's wearing the red outfit and he says, you know, for everybody that is against me, whoever, if everybody who didn't think that I would win this United States Championship, you could kiss my big red booty. But he said, for those who support me, let me hear you. Serenade me. And, you know, look, crowd was not in unison. Actually got a little bit less singing than you would expect. But that is more Seth Rollins is going to start acknowledging those who support him. And it's not going to happen overnight. But Seth Rollins out there, you know, talking about his match, and he gets interrupted by Matt Riddle. By Mustafa Ali. And, you know, this was a little confusing in my opinion because, yes, Mustafa Ali, when he fought Bobby Lashley, it was not for the championship. It was more one of those championship contenders matches, and that if, you know, Ali won, he would get a title. He didn't win. But Ali comes out there and he says that Bobby Lashley said that he's next in line and this is Sinat. Seth Rollins laughing right in the face of Mustafa Ali. Then he's given Mustafa Ali a little bit of praise. Look, you know, get out of this ring. He's like, hey, I know, you know, you're a great performer. You're one of the most talented on this roster. You're a good guy backstage. You're a mentor for the young people. You're a great dad. You're great. This, boom, punches him right in the mouth. And why? Because Mustafa Ali getting in his face, taking off his sunglasses, no, you deserve to get punched in the mouth. Throw my fucking glasses and see what happens. I might not be able to see you all that well. Maybe I'll punch air. But, you know, Mustafa Ali, I'm not leaving anywhere. I'm your next freaking problem. So Ali and Seth Rollins go at it a little bit early in the night. And towards the end of the night, after Seth Rollins retained his United States Championship over Matt Riddle, here comes Mustafa Ali again. So could they have a match prior to Saudi Arabia? Sure. But you know the importance. I don't know if Mansoor is going to be in Saudi Arabia. I mean, obviously, it could happen. The big question for a lot of people out there is, would Mansoor do his Maximum Male Models character in Saudi Arabia? And for all of you that are even asking that right now, my honest opinion is this, and I'm going to say it bluntly, that's how I always am on these shows, and it might upset some of you, you know, it's not intended, but understand something. When you're a Maximum Male Model, whether it's a WWE character or it's somebody in Los Angeles right now walking the runway, just because you're flamboyant, just because you wear, you know, interesting attire, doesn't make you gay. Doesn't make you bi. It doesn't have to do with sexual preference. And I think that is the problem with some people out there. They look at what Mansoor is wearing, even Pretty Deadly in NXT, and, you know, people immediately equate that to, you know, like homosexuality. And honestly, I think that's ignorant, in my opinion. If some people in Saudi Arabia interpret that as homosexuality, because we know, you know, the controversy as far as, you know, the history with Saudi Arabia and how they've treated people who are gay. But remember, you know, we had Sonya Deville, you know, there, and, you know, things have changed. I mean, it's not perfect. I don't think it'll ever be perfect. It's not perfect here in the United States either. It'll never be perfect. But it's better than what it was. But Mansoor's character is not about his sexual preference. So I think it could still happen. But right now, I think Mustafa Ali is the one that WWE is really going to showcase. And look, if you find out that Rollins and Ali are going to have a match at Crown Jewel, you know that's probably going to be one of the best matches of the night because they are going to give them the time. That's not going to be a seven minute, or even a 5 minute Raw match. So that's why this is continuing. Expect that to happen at Saudi Arabia. Maybe they teased the match on Raw beforehand, but I expect it to happen in Saudi Arabia.
I'm Chris Long, the host of American Prodigies, Becoming Great. Join me each week as I take you inside some of the most fascinating NFL stories. New episodes every Thursday. Listen in wherever you get your podcasts. Presented by WynnBET.
We had Candice LeRae and Bianca Belair lose to Dakota Kai and Io Sky. Bayley was on commentary. The end of this match reminded me a little bit of Rey Mysterio and AJ Styles. Remember the tag match they had recently, and Rey Mysterio took his eye off of the match, and that allowed AJ to be double-teamed, and AJ lost, and then Rey got back in the ring. I'm sorry, I wasn't. The same idea happened tonight with Bianca Belair. Instead of focusing on the tag team match, Bianca Belair starts going at it with Bayley by the commentator's table, and here comes Bianca Belair kind of like throwing Bayley over the announcer's table, like going along with her, takes herself out of the match. So as a result, Candice LeRae gets hit from Sky and Kai at the same time. They hit their finisher, and Bianca Belair and Candice LeRae lose. But we find out next week, Bayley and Bianca Belair will go at it once again. So now the interesting thing is, who is Bianca Belair going to face in Saudi Arabia? Do we get Asuka's return next week? What's going to happen with Alexa Bliss? You know, I know what some people have been saying about the Wyatt Six. People are going to be really embarrassed, man. You're going to see a lot of YouTube thumbnails mysteriously changing in the next couple of weeks when they start realizing, oh, fuck, Grayson Waller's not in it. Oh, fuck, Liv Morgan, Alexa, but, you know, whoever it is, you know, they're going to realize we clickbaited a bunch of people. There is no faction coming up. But so Bianca Belair and Candice LeRae lose tonight. Non-title match, I believe. Before we talk about Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, let's talk a little bit about the main event tonight. Seth Rollins versus Matt Riddle. Of course, Seth Rollins is not losing that United States Championship a week after he wins it. The big question is, how is Seth Rollins going to retain? So what happens? Elias makes his return. Hello, everyone. I am Elias. I can't do an Elias. But this time, not only does Elias have a guitar, he's got an organ, and he's going to use it. So right now, we can't figure out if Elias is going to be a babyface or is he going to be a heel. Now, when he started going through his shtick and he was going to do his concert, you know, I was waiting for him to say, you know, shut your mouths, and, you know, because he used to always say it, but he didn't. He said, hold your applause, and very, very polite. Matt Riddle interrupts him. Matt Riddle comes out with a set of bongos. And Matt Riddle, you know, wants to have the concert with Elias. Now, last week, and I'm very appreciative at all of you who noticed something that I said about Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, in the last week, WWE did a character shift that I thought was a big mistake. Sami Zayn getting way too fucking cocky being in the bloodline. That's not what got Sami Zayn belovedly over with the fans. this past SmackDown, Sami Zayn's character was completely different of what's been going on with Sami for quite some time. Sami being naive, thinking that he's hip and all that, you know, Friday was a complete change. Riddle tonight, in my opinion, was the same thing. Riddle coming out there, you know, he just beat Rollins in the fight pit. He's getting an opportunity at the United States Championship. He's fighting a guy that he did a moonsault off the top of the fight pit onto Rollins' ribs. What happened to, what did you fucking say? I'm going to fuck you up. What did you say about my, I'm going to fuck, what happened to that? He's having a United States title match, and he's coming out with bongos. Hey, I want to do a rock concert with you. This is right before the fucking main event. And I'm like, this is Matt Riddle 9 months ago. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? So if I'm Elias, I'm going to crack that guitar over Riddle's head. You don't interrupt my concert. So instead, you know, he's on the floor. I want to do a concert with you. I want to do a concert with you. And Elias is like, Matt Riddle, I promise one day we will have a concert together. Sure, once WWE realizes Elias is a babyface, it's not going to fucking work. It's not going to work. It didn't work before. Just like turning Alberto Del Rio babyface back then was ridiculously wrong. This, it was awful tonight. I mean, and please do not say to me, oh, well, Triple H had COVID and Road Dogg did this. Don't give me that shit. Seriously, you don't abruptly change all this stuff. You don't think they called Triple H. Hey, boss, look, I know you don't feel well. I know you're home and everything, but look, you know, we want to do this with Riddle tonight. How's about we have Riddle come out with bongos and he wants to do a concert with Elias and all this stuff. And, you know, he does. And, oh, boss, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. This is, oh, look, I got to call you back. You don't think that all this was signed off on? To me, this was stupid tonight. Elias was not received well from the Oklahoma City fans. Riddle coming out looking like Riddle from 9 months ago, who should get his ass handed to him, and not taking the match with Seth Rollins seriously. I have no problem with the scooter and all that shit, but we just went from, what did you fucking say? Remember the split screen? Remember the parking lot brawls? I'm going to fuck you up. To, I want to play the bongos right before my match. The fuck was that? Oh, man. So I thought it was stupid. So Rollins interrupts Riddle and Elias, and we get the match. And Elias is at ringside. So we know Elias is going to do something. And me, I'm thinking, okay, look, Elias is not going to work as a babyface. You got to insult the crowd. Why? Because JBL put down Oklahoma City so bad today that Elias can't do it too? It almost felt that way. But Elias is at ringside. Why is he still at ringside? He gets a little physical with Seth Rollins. But then towards the end of the match, Seth Rollins is trying to get himself disqualified. He's ordering Elias to hit me. Hit me, hit me, hit me. He wouldn't hit him. So Seth Rollins super kicks his ass. So what happens? Seth Rollins gets back in the ring. Matt Riddle gets the upper hand, spikes Seth Rollins on the mat, goes to the side rope to, you know, hit a move on Seth Rollins. And at the same time, Elias is trying to get into the ring to go at it with Seth Rollins. So he bumps into, Elias bumps into Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle, you know, didn't see it coming. He gets distracted. Seth Rollins, you know, hits him with a curb stomp, match over. After the match is over, Seth Rollins with a curb stomp onto Riddle, onto the title. And I thought that was stupid too, because the whole time Matt Riddle's on his knees and the title belt is under his face. And Matt Riddle is staring at that fucking title for about 15 seconds. Go back and look at it. When Seth Rollins went to hit the curb stomp on the title, Riddle is trying to get up and he's looking at the title the whole time. Looking at the title the whole time. Just think about, just common sense. You know, I can understand if you're in a daze and you're like this, but he's literally looking at the title, and before Seth Rollins could curb stomp him on the belt, Mustafa Ali comes back. They go at it, sets up a future match. Elias gets curb stomped as well. So we go off the air where Elias is not a heel. I thought the closing of Raw tonight was not very good, in my honest opinion. And as I said before, I personally think we would have gotten the same ending if Triple H was there. Please do not make Triple H Teflon. I'm not criticizing the guy. But these people out there, you know, that think, you know, he could turn water into wine, you know, and plastic into a human body, if you know what I mean. You know, come on. We've seen some goofy shit on WWE programming. Not a lot of it. It's a lot better than what it was before, but it's not going to be perfect. Tonight was not perfect. The opening of Raw was pretty fucking good. Immediately, Raw opens up and Bobby Lashley is in that ring. He wants Brock Lesnar tonight. He calls out Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's like, yeah, no fucking problem. Brock Lesnar comes to ringside. You know, because we know that match was happening in Saudi Arabia. We talked about it last week. But what happens is Brock Lesnar comes out of ringside. They start brawling. They're at the announcer's table. They're going through tons of furniture. Brock Lesnar at one point is about to hit the F5 on Bobby Lashley. But Bobby Lashley breaks free, throws Brock Lesnar into the ring post. And I'm sorry for the abrupt pauses. That's the only way I could show you this here, you know, rather than just talk about it. And Brock Lesnar, a little bit startled, here comes Bobby Lashley. Oh, you're getting your ass fucked up. I mean, if you look closely, Brock Lesnar's ass went through the barricade. But it looked sweet, and the fucking crowd was loving it. Brock Lesnar selling it like $1 million. Bobby Lashley selling it like $1 million. Yeah, because they're going to Saudi Arabia. They're getting paid the big bucks, man. Big fucking bucks. So they're going to sell the shit out of this. So the match is signed. It is going down at Crown Jewel. We have Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley, a straight one-on-one match. Remember, Bobby Lashley got a substantial win over Brock Lesnar earlier this year. That's a big deal. That is a big deal on Bobby Lashley's resume. The question is, does it happen again? So as we said earlier, the OC will be taking on the Judgment Day in Saudi Arabia. And obviously we know Logan Paul will be taking on Roman Reigns. And Logan Paul will be on SmackDown this Friday. So they got some work to do to get him more over as a babyface. I mean, if they could just tread water going into Saudi Arabia, I think they'll be fine. But obviously, Logan Paul, in the end, a lot of people feel that he is destined to be a huge heel. But WWE is not going that route right now. So another match, we already talked about it on Friday. Saturday's Don Tony show, we got into it in detail. I'm still blown away that a majority of people online have not put two and two together yet. Omos, MVP, they're on Raw tonight. MVP not trying to diss Braun Strowman, but actually compliment him. And as you see, Omos getting the Andre the Giant camera angle. I love it. We've talked about that many times before. Omos looks pretty fucking I mean, MVP, obviously, but Omos is dapper in a suit. But they're going to confront Braun Strowman on Friday SmackDown. And the challenge will be issued. Braun Strowman will accept. We will get Omos versus Braun Strowman at Crown Jewel. That is a huge payday for both of them, especially that Braun Strowman's been out of WWE for quite some time. This is a big fucking payday. So that is another rumored match for Crown Jewel. Mustafa Ali, Seth Rollins, rumored. So another match that WWE is working on is Ronda Rousey. What do you do with Ronda Rousey at Crown Jewel? Liv Morgan has been taking things to the extreme, you know, since she lost that championship to Ronda Rousey. Liv Morgan is staying in that title hunt, at least through Crown Jewel. Remember, Charlotte Flair is this close to returning. Charlotte Flair returning in time for Crown Jewel? Most likely. It would be shocking if Charlotte Flair did not get a payday going to Saudi Arabia. So could we possibly get a three-way match at Saudi Arabia? Ronda Rousey defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Liv Morgan and Charlotte Flair. That could very well end up being a match. I mean, they could go one-on-one and just go Charlotte Flair, but I think Liv Morgan, especially no complaints from her last appearance in Saudi Arabia. So even if Charlotte Flair ends up on Raw, Psycho, everybody said Omos is going to be on SmackDown only. He was on fucking Raw tonight. So this is Saudi Arabia. This is about a gigantic payday. What happens after Saudi Arabia is anybody's guess. But don't be surprised if we get, especially if Charlotte Flair ends up staying on Raw, you could get that last Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, you know, interaction by having it at Saudi Arabia. I tell you, my honest opinion, I'd rather see Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair. Belair versus Flair at Crown Jewel. Since Bayley is getting the rematch next week, that tells me that Bayley versus Bianca Belair is not happening at Crown Jewel. So if it was up to me, I would rather see Charlotte Flair show up on Raw, maybe lay out Bianca Belair, and the challenge is made for Crown Jewel. Only problem with that is, do you want to see Charlotte Flair pinned this quickly? Anybody want to see Bianca Belair lose that championship? Now, she's about to make history tomorrow. Somebody pointed out to me that tomorrow makes her 200 days as a heavyweight champion. That's a big deal because as far as black history goes with wrestling, she's the first black wrestler in WWE to hold the championship for 200 days. That's pretty sad to think all these years and, you know, 200 days only. That's kind of embarrassing on WWE's part. But, hey, they're rectifying a lot of wrongs, pretty obvious wrongs. So tonight's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Hey, we're right around Halloween, everyone. Michael Myers is sure scary, but something tells me that your balls might look a hell of a lot scarier right now. Luckily, our friends at Manscaped launched their fourth generation performance package. Show me the performance package. There you go. Have you ever tried to trim your balls and it turned into like a bloody horror film? Manscaped is here to save the day. Unlock your confidence with the Performance Package 4.0, the holy grail of men's grooming. I have this package, everyone. This package takes care of my package. It's a full moon out, everyone, and a werewolf in your pants is howling. Ow! Oh, I didn't write this. It's time to tackle that problem with the Lawnmower 4.0. They're finely tuned pube products. Feature a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to an advanced skincare technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 really is the greatest ball trimmer on the planet. The Performance Package 4.0 includes the Weed Whacker, a nose and ear hair trimmer. How many of you out there trim your nose hair, but you forget your ears? And then you go out to a club or a restaurant, and you go into the bathroom, and they have really bright lights, and you're looking at your face, you wash your hands, and then you look, and there's like a couple of hairs like sticking out of your ear. Can you imagine if your significant other just decides one day to suck on your earlobe and they get hair in their mouth? Has that ever happened to yours truly? I refuse to say. Anyway, seal the deal, everyone, with Manscaped's Liquid Formations, the Crop Preserver, their Ball Deodorant. Yes, they have deodorant for your balls, and the Crop Reviver. Remember, Manscaped has many other products. They just launched this body buffer. 100% antibacterial body scrubber is just what you need to keep yourself fresh, clean, and exfoliated. And If you want to pick up the Performance Package 4.0, you get free boxers. Yes, I have them. I will not model them. Thank you very much. And believe it or not, that newspaper, everyone, you do get that. True story. When they sent me a gift, even though I've bought products from them also, they sent me that newspaper and I threw it right in the garbage. I'm like, I thought it was like packing material. And then my now wife looked at the garbage pail, throwing something away. And she's like, what's this in the garbage pail? We save balls. And I said, what are you talking about? And I look in the garbage pail. I pulled the newspaper out of the garbage pail. And that in itself, my wife's like, ew, gross. You took something out of the garbage pail. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is a pretty cool newspaper. Package, cleanse, position. So if you're looking like Wolverine down there and you haven't cut your nails recently, either make sure to look into the Shears 2.0 nail kit. They got so much shit over there, everyone. Get 20% off and free shipping. Manscaped.com. Enter the promo code DONTONY. Get 20% off. All right. Theme parks with Crown Jewel. Thank you very much, my friend. He did a little run-in with a 10 spot. Oh, I answered your call answer question. Oh, people are going to love this one. Does Goldberg do Crown Jewel, in my opinion? You know, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think Bill Goldberg, there's been obviously a lot of negativity, you know, with his last run. You know, when he had his last match and he announced that he has no more matches under his current WWE deal, I think people were celebrating a little bit too much. Look, you please the Saudi Arabia fans there. They want Bill Goldberg there. So if Bill Goldberg were to be there, you know, maybe they do it as a surprise. Maybe Bill Goldberg shows up as a surprise. Look, it'd be hard to keep it a surprise because you're going all the way to Saudi Arabia. Somebody is going to spot him. But maybe you don't. If you're going to put Bill Goldberg on Crown Jewel, maybe you do it as a surprise unannounced. Maybe you do that. Maybe somebody comes out there, Chad Gable, Alpha Academy, maybe something. You know, we don't have a match. Shoosh. And then maybe Bill Goldberg comes out there, you know, gives a jackhammer to Otis, which would be very, very risky, you know, especially with Goldberg's age, even though he's in phenomenal shape. If we had to experience Goldberg at Crown Jewel, that's probably how I would go with it. So, I didn't forget, Lascelles, about your ratings super chat. We're going to talk about that in a moment. I just want to wrap up the discussion with Raw and WWE right now. So that was pretty much your episode of Raw tonight. Main event results, Cameron Grimes over Tozawa, Cedric Alexander over Duke Hudson. So that's who was performing a main event this week. Now, later on, we're going to do two quick giveaways. One, I already picked the winner, did a little bit different this time around. Another one, we have a contest from last week. So, you know what? Actually, let's do that one right now. If you remember last week, we did the Yeet contest, and I didn't announce what the prize was going to be. It was going to be a little bit of a surprise. So since it had to do with Yeet, you're going to get two shirts. One of them is going to be the new Bray Wyatt Moth shirt that apparently is selling like fire. So we got to get that quickly. Otherwise, it's going to be on back order until the end of October, early November. And the same person is going to get an honorary Oos shirt. So somebody is going to get both. So what I am going to do right now is I'm going to pull up on the screen. This is from last week's show. And sorry for everybody who did not stick around last week to even know this contest existed, because I'm going to click this quickly. So unfortunately, people had to scramble like, oh, let me get in on it. Too late. Let's pick a winner. Gary Vaughn. Gary Vaughn, you are the winner. DM me or email me, dontony@dontony.com. Let me know your shirt size and your shipping address, and we will get both of those shirts out right away. So we'll do another giveaway soon. we'll probably do a little hashtag one and, you know, do it spur the moment. But so Gary Vaughn, congrats to you, my friend. Yeet! Yeet my dog. Yeet my dog. So he gets both of those shirts. In a little bit, we're going to announce the winner of this Bray Wyatt bobblehead. It's actually sealed in a box still. I'm shocked. I have like a dozen of these. They're going on eBay right now for $100 to $125 a piece. And that's the low end. I'm shocked. Even these boxes, these are still sealed. I have about 15 of these. These are going anywhere from $125 to $250, depending on which box it is. So we're going to be doing some Bray Wyatt stuff going into the holidays. But, yeah, so we'll announce that a little bit. Before we move on, one more time, a little Sasha Banks eye candy for those that want it. If you don't want it, that's okay. I figured I'd show you one more time before we close out the Sasha Banks photos for the night. So, all right, let's talk about tomorrow, Tuesday, October 18th, 2022. The Tuesday Night War happens. I will tell you this. There's a lot of people in the media world that are very nervous that NXT could beat Dynamite in the ratings tomorrow. I'm not going to say the names. Go look around and look at the usual suspects that are already coming up with excuses if Dynamite loses tomorrow. Well, NXT is pulling out all the stops, and NXT is doing this, and AEW, it's a different night. Listen, we're in 2022. This is not 1997. This is not in the early days of the internet that if you could only watch something via streaming and if it changed on a night that you know, what are we, fucking prehistoric animals that we don't know what the fuck we're doing? What are we, stoned? Are we on drugs? How many of you out there actually think that people who are online tomorrow night on social media, especially with Dynamite trending, with everybody and their mother talking about it, if they watched AEW last week, the announcers told you 50 times, Dynamite's going to be on next Tuesday. You know, Rampage. How many times are you saying on Rampage? It's all over the place. You think people just like buried themselves under a rock? Oh, I had no idea it was on Tuesday this week. After all of this hype for the last 2 weeks, you still don't know? That's your fucking fault. So I'm looking at all these people on the media. Well, it's a different night, and it's this and it. The fuck out of here. AEW had shows on a Saturday, and they got a million viewers. I'll never forget, they did a Saturday show. I think the main event was FTR versus Private Party. I'm pretty sure that was one of the matches that day. It did over a million viewers on a Saturday. The fuck is the excuse? Now, let me make this clear. I truly believe Dynamite will win in the ratings tomorrow. And as I said before, I think Tony Khan does have a little bit of bragging rights if he wins in the ratings tomorrow. Because look at all the stops that WWE did for tomorrow. Tomorrow on NXT, we have Raquel Rodriguez versus Cora Jade. We have Rhea Ripley versus Roxanne Perez. We have Stax taking on a person chosen by Tony D'Angelo, and Tony D'Angelo is going to bribe somebody. And, you know, my thought was he's going to give a bunch of money to MVP to get Omos for a night, and I think Omos is going to beat the balls out of Channing Lorenzo. So maybe they don't go that route. But whoever it is obviously got to be a heel, and Tony D'Angelo is going to pay someone off, you know, to give Stacks a little bit of a lesson. We have Cameron Grimes, Gallows, and Anderson. They're going to team up to take on the Schism. We got Sonya Deville taking on Alba Fire, and expect Mandy Rose to return tomorrow. She's been mourning the death of her brother, which we have expressed our condolences for. And Quincy Elliott is rumored to have a match. We don't know who he's going to face. So, and there's other things going down. We still don't even know what the gimmick is going to be, what the stipulation is for Grayson Waller versus Apollo Crews at Halloween Havoc. This is the go-home show, the Halloween Havoc. So, You know, this is a stacked card. Now, as far as Dynamite tomorrow, this is what Dynamite has advertised. We got Jon Moxley defending the AEW World Championship against Hangman Page. Obviously, MJF will be in the rafters for this one. We have Chris Jericho defending the Ring of Honor Championship against Dalton Castle. Tony Storm defending the AEW Interim Women's Championship against Hikaru Shida. We have the Death Triangle, Pac and the Lucha Bros, defending the Trios Championships against Orange Cassidy and Best Friends. MJF will obviously cut a live promo, and Renee Paquette is going to sit down and have an interview with Bryan Danielson and Wheeler Yuta. So that is what's advertised for tomorrow. So, Lascelles sent me this very generous 10 spot earlier. Who do I think wins the Tuesday night ratings war? AEW or NXT? And I saw a few of you asking me, what do I think the combined viewership is going to be? Now, you know, back when they were both on Wednesdays, you know, towards the end, the combined viewership was only like 1.4 million. And, you know, you look at that AEW card, and I'm not criticizing either one. I hope they both kill it in the ratings tomorrow. But if you look at this AEW card, okay, Hangman Page has been there for a bunch since the beginning. Yeah, since the beginning. Moxley's been there pretty much since the beginning. I'm talking about Dynamite. Jericho's been there since the beginning. Dalton Castle, you know, suddenly the social media is like, oh my God, he's amazing. He's this, he's that. And you go check those people's Twitter history. They never fucking ever tweeted about Dalton Castle once. So honestly, I don't think anybody gives a shit. MJF has been there since the beginning. The Death Triangle, Orange Cassidy, and Best Friends have been there since the beginning. All right, Bryan Danielson is not there as long, and neither has Renee Paquette. But when you really look at this, Tony Storm obviously has not been there that long. There's nobody on this card that, even back when they were going up against each other on Wednesdays, they were not killing it in the ratings. So I personally think both shows tomorrow are around the sevens. I think combined, it might only be about 1.4 million. And I don't even think it's going to be that high. I think AEW Dynamite has every opportunity to squeeze out a win here. And understand something. NXT has been averaging about 660, 680 in the ratings. You know, I know that still doesn't sound like a great number, but that's what they were getting in 2020 during the black and gold era. That's better than what they were doing in 2021. And that's only 20,000 viewers away from what they were doing in 2019. Think about NXT in 2019 with the Undisputed Era and everybody else that was still on that roster, even on the women's side. And NXT right now is only 20,000 viewers away from matching 2019. You know, nobody talks about that, but that's kind of crazy to think about. As a developmental, they're scoring that. But in the end, I think AEW, you know, because of their consistent viewership, and you know you got that dedicated fan base out there, I think there's going to be a lot of channel surfing tomorrow. I think in the end, I think AEW scores 738. I think AEW scores 738. And even if NXT scores lower, a little bit lower than what they have been doing, it's still not a bad number for developmental. So I say AEW gets 738, and I think NXT gets about 641. So I do believe AEW will beat NXT in the ratings. Now, NXT obviously has a strong lineup tomorrow. There is, you know, some decent names on there, but at the end of the day, I think AEW will come out on top. We'll see what happens. Maybe I'm way off. I could be way off on this. In the comments section later, you know, give me your predictions. You know, we get a little bragging rights. You know, what do you think the ratings are going to be tomorrow for AEW and NXT? Now, programming note, Wednesday night Dynamite, the podcast I always do on Wednesdays. We are doing it this Wednesday again. I know a lot of you out there want to see me do a show tomorrow night. Number one, I always do a show Tuesdays for our Patreon family. And, with, you know, out of respect for them, I'm not going to put them on the back burner because Tuesday night, AEW and NXT are going head-to-head. So Tuesday, I am doing my normal Patreon show. If you want to try out our Patreon, you know, this is not a ploy to try to get a money grab. You sign up, $5. Not only do you get, you know, a couple of weeks still for October, but you got 5 years worth of content there sitting there. You got hundreds of Kevin Castle episodes. You got hundreds of mine. You got old breakfast soup stuff. Plus, you got ad-free episodes of everything I do every single week. There's a lot of things on there. So if you want to tune in tomorrow night, join me live. You'll get access to the Discord channel. But I will be here Wednesday, 10.05 p.m. Eastern, right here. We will talk about AEW and NXT. We will have the ratings, too. So this Wednesday, join me here at 10.05. We should have, you know, all the focus, you know, on us. Everybody and their mother's going to do a recap tomorrow. So we're going to keep it for Wednesday. So you're invited to join me. Shall you? Somebody will know why I did that. All right, rest in peace, Humberto Garza Sr. For those that do not know, that is the grandfather of Angel Garza and Humberto Carrillo. I know probably about a month to a month and a half ago, we had mentioned him that he was in poor health. He passed away yesterday, I believe, at 85 years old. Look, you go back to his career in the 60s and the 70s. He was a pretty big name in the world of pro wrestling. And look, you look at the Garza family. There is, it's got a lot of lineage there. If you look over the years with the Garza family. But this is a really, really beautiful picture of Angel Garza. They were very close with their grandfather. He is a legend in Mexican wrestling. So he passed away at the age of 85. So our condolences to the family of Humberto Garza. Somebody told me that Jose Rivera passed away. Not, if anybody's around my age, not Mac Rivera. Jose Luis Rivera. No. We're talking about Jose Rivera. That was a big name in the 70s. I got to look into that. Somebody told me tonight that he passed away as well. So I'll find out if that's the case. We'll definitely mention him on Wednesday. So, let's see. We talked about Crown Jewel. We talked about the others. Oh, okay. Bray Wyatt's new song and some ratings from Friday. SmackDown did 2,274,000. Excellent number. Rampage did 458. You have Moxley and Claudio as a tag team. That card should have gone well over 500,000-600,000 viewers. 458 is embarrassing, especially with your world champion on that card. But you want to keep forcing this Ring of Honor cloud. You know, I know Ian Riccaboni, oh, there's this black cloud hovering over Ring of Honor. No, with all due respect, you know, and, you know, intended, there is a black cloud over AEW, and that is Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor was never this gigantic promotion, and Tony Khan is force-feeding Honor. That thumbnail that I did about 6 months ago, force-feeding it, force-feeding it, force-feeding it, and fans are not biting. You know, they're not biting. And we've already discussed why the idea of a TV deal is almost ridiculous unless those circumstances happen that we talked about, which I don't think they are, especially with what's going on still with the EVPs not yet back. I mean, that'll happen again soon, but that issue's got to be addressed. There is no outside investigation. Investigation is the wrong word to use. Tony Khan is trying to figure out how the fuck they handle this legally. You know, what Tony Khan, let me say this to everyone out there, without getting into much of it tonight, because tonight is usually about WWE, but I'll say this one thing I want you all to think about. Tony Khan, as I said before, used to always rip the WWE contracts. They're not worth the paper that they're on. But WWE contracts, if you ever saw one of them, they are pages, pages, and pages, and pages. And some of it, you don't even know what the fuck it means. That's why you have lawyers and agents involved, okay? Tony Khan's AEW contracts are only a couple of pages. Very easy to read. You could give it to your niece and nephew and say, hey, what do you think about this? And they could figure it out. Hey, this, you know, this is a good deal. Because you got so much freedom. Because Tony Khan doesn't address issues. So what's happening now is CM Punk, you don't think that he's got an expensive agent or a lawyer that handles some of his business? Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, you don't think that they have some decent lawyer that's not named Sterling, you know, or an agent that represents them? They came in there with loaded guns. And Tony Khan is like, how do we deal with this? How does he deal with this? He never addressed it in his contracts. So that is what's going on. They're trying to figure out how to come to a conclusion with this. Because at the end of the day, you can't just say, hey, I'll give you $1 million, come work for me. You know, it's not that easy to do. When you run into problems, when you run into, you don't spell out in a contract that, you know, behavior unbecomest of, you know, AEW, you know, would result in, you know, suspension, this to that. If you, this is why, even when I do lease agreements for tenants and landlords, any of you out there that's ever signed a lease to live in an apartment, you know, sometimes you'll get one off of Amazon, which is a bullshit lease. But sometimes you might rent an apartment or rent a store and you look at the lease and it's like 16 pages long. I just want to live here. You're like, why do I need all? Because they cover every little thing in case something happens. And what happened is Tony Khan has these problems. He never legally addressed them in the contracts. That is what's going on. It's not an investigation. It's, how do we fucking deal with this? That is what's going on. That is the truth. Nobody will tell you. Maybe Jim Cornette and Brian List, because they are the creme de la creme as far as telling it straight up and knowing their shit. You know, especially Jim Cornette. My God. You know, I was not a fan of Jim Cornette for a very long time. But that guy is one of the smart, even if you don't like him, you got to give him credit. That motherfucker is like Rain Man in wrestling. That guy knows everything and knows all the legalese. And he is the type of person. They're like, hey, Jim, I want to hire you for an autograph signing. And he'll say, okay. I don't have any good examples, but he'll say, okay, you know, here's my, you know, my guidelines. And you're like, what the fuck is this? It's like a whole stationary book. That guy reads every little thing. So that's who you want to do business with. So, all right. Very quickly, I want to give a congratulations to Cressman. Cressman, now trust me, everyone, on Friday with the watch party, I had some things going on here, having an anniversary this weekend, doing some work, preparing for Saturday morning show, having to do errands Saturday. So what I did was I took everybody that was that appeared at the watch party Saturday, and I just ran it through a program. Cress, you have 3 days to claim your prize. You get this Bray Wyatt bobblehead, and yeah, I'll ship it out to you. If you don't claim it, then we will do a giveaway next week once again. So yeah, congrats to Cress. So we'll do, you know, we'll go back to the prize wheel another time. It's just there was too many things going on to start figuring out who was on the floor, who wasn't on the floor, this and that. So I just took everybody's names and just ran the pick a winner thing, and your name came up. So congrats. Should have recorded it, but, you know, I didn't. So guys, gals, this Thursday, I'm going to be doing the next Q&A mailbag. So if you have a question that you want me to cover in a mailbag, either go to the community section. There's a thread up right now, or you could email me, dontony@dontony.com. This is your last chance, because Wednesday afternoon, especially since there's no wrestling Wednesday night, you know, I can take a little bit extra time recording this mailbag. So that's going to be Wednesday. And then don't forget the big one. It's the big one. November 3rd, Thursday night, 8:05 p.m. JD from New York will be joining me here. I believe he is vacationing in Ireland right now with family. So he told me that he was going to be going away, a little rest, relaxation. I'm sure he probably watched Raw tonight, was not thrilled with some of it. I don't blame him. Some of what we got tonight was kind of crappy. So Bray Wyatt, we mentioned this yesterday in passing. And for any of you out there that want to go seek it out, I know that this song has not been put on sale yet, but I'm sure within a couple of days it's going to be available. And you know there's going to be bootlegs everywhere. But the new Bray Wyatt song. You know, when I listened to it Friday, I think I was more into his return. And, you know, like the beginning of it, I wasn't feeling it all that much. The middle part of the song, the meat and potatoes, it hooked me. Then I went back and I watched his SmackDown appearance, I'd say at least three times. And I listened to the song. And the song is fire. If you remember the group Code Orange, that did his theme song, Let Me In. Code Orange is the group that performed this song. And the name of this song is called Shattered. Shattered. So be on the lookout for it. You know, so because I'm Code Orange wants to make some money off of this song, and they will. So you best damn believe that song will be available sooner than later. So I like the song. I like the song. It definitely fits well. And I'm pretty intrigued to see what the future has with Bray Wyatt and WWE TV. I'm very surprised at the mixed bag going on right now. Traditionalists are not very thrilled. We talked about it on Saturday. You know, that match with Daniel Bryan 8 years ago was probably the best match of Bray Wyatt's career. Bray Wyatt, psychologically, might be close to genius level, but we don't know what he has polished in the ring since he's been gone. He hasn't been gone for 7 years, everyone. He's been gone for a little over a year. We don't know how much he worked on his wrestling in ring work. So, you know, if you go back and you look at Bray Wyatt, yes, a lot of the aesthetics was horrible. The red lighting with the Fiend was awful. That's Vince McMahon's fault. That's not Bray Wyatt's fault. But the thing is, this is pro wrestling. Sooner or later, he's going to be feuding with people. And if anybody thinks that he should be in a main event or fighting for a championship, you don't want a very talented, upper echelon, great wrestler have to go down on a very, very low level to be, you know, to make Bray Wyatt be a little bit more even. There's going to be a lot of psychology here, but how much of it is actually going to be in the ring? How many matches? I'm very curious. How many matches do you think Bray Wyatt will have for the remainder of 2022? I would love to see some of your answers in the comment section. Yes, I'm trying to get you to be interactive. It helps. It helps. But I'm very curious. I think right now, I think Bray Wyatt may have three. And I think three might be stretching it. Three or four? And what does he do? I mean, right now, I think we've all figured out Bray Wyatt's feuding with himself. That Uncle Howdy mask you see on the screen, what you're seeing, as we talked about on yesterday's sit-down, that's his mind. You're seeing on the screen what's going on in Bray Wyatt's mind. So Bray Wyatt is going to be feuding with himself. How does he have matches? Does he just snap and start beating the shit out of someone? Does he uncontrollably just pound on someone and then regret it afterwards? Does he do a little bit of Waylon Mercy when Waylon Mercy, you know, would be a little bit nice in the ring, beat the shit out of someone and then go to shake their hands and then he'd have this crazy look on his face? So Bray Wyatt, very creative. How much of it gets interpreted inside the ring? I'm not knocking it. I'm just posting questions. I'm excited. I'm happy he's back. I'm 100% happy that he's back. And I also say this. If Bray Wyatt has not improved in the ring. If the Bray Wyatt in the ring that we get is similar to what we got before, I'm fine with it because he's not going to take up a quarter of a show. You know, if you really think about it, as far as SmackDown, if it's a two-hour show, Bray Wyatt might be 5 or 10 minutes of it. You know, we're not opening the show with Bray. We're not recapping it 5 minutes later. We're not doing it at the end of hour one. We're not teasing it halfway through. Yeah, you do a vignette, you tease in his return, but I'm talking about, you know, you're not going to see him in six different segments on a two-hour show. His work might be 10 minutes of it. And if a lot of it has nothing to do with wrestling, all right, you know, give me 10 minutes of non-wrestling stuff. If you're entertaining the shit out of me, that's all I care about. So I care about. You know, I think about Roddy Piper back in the day. Anybody that goes back with my age, or maybe you became a fan of Roddy Piper, you know, years after he retired, before he passed. You know, I could tell you with all honesty, when I grew up in the middle 80s as a WWF fan and Roddy Piper came in and he first was feuding with Snuka and he feuded with Hogan and this and that, you know, yes, we got those Madison Square Garden matches. We got the Philadelphia Spectrum, the Boston Garden, the Meadowlands, whatever it is, Nassau Coliseum. But here's the thing. You would get 4 or 5 weeks when all he would do is Piper's Pit. Yes, I understand 2022 is a much different era. My point is, some of the greatest wrestlers back in the day would have a lot of talking segments and not even do much inside the ring. You know, you go back to Piper, you take away the WrestleMania match, you take away the Fijian strap match with Snuka, you take away, you know, his match with Bret Hart and a couple of others. You look at his career from middle 80s to 90. You know, there's not a lot of matches, you know, shaving Adrian Adonis's head, you know, or there's not. So I don't mind Bray Wyatt being more of the psychological part. Let the other wrestlers who can kill it in a ring, let them wrestle. You know, Bray Wyatt, 5-10 minutes of psychological sex is not going to hurt me in any way. I was not thinking about that before I said it. Bray Wyatt is going to psychologically make love to all of us. I know that sounds really creepy, but I think psychologically he is going to play with us. I'm really digging a deep hole here. So, all right. With that said, how long we got? We got 90 minutes. I think that's good enough. So I want to thank you all for joining me tonight. If you have any questions coming out of tonight's show that you would like for me to answer, post it in the comment section. Again, if you want to be part of the mailbag for this week, send it to the community section or send it to my email. And Benjamin, what do you mean? Like, this is the end of the show. This is a Raw post show. What else is there to talk about? There's nothing else to talk about tonight. So we'll be back here Wednesday night, 10.05 p.m. We'll talk about NXT. We'll talk about AEW. We'll see what happens with the ratings. We'll see what goes down on both shows. Hopefully we get some surprises. Some swerves, you know, we got a fun show coming up and yeah, that's it. So I'm out of here. If you enjoyed tonight's show, take a moment, hit that thumbs up. It helps more than you know. If you know anyone else out there that might like the channel, let them know about it. Oh, Benjamin was talking about my Bray Wyatt sex comic. You know where I got that from? Jake the Snake Roberts. If any of you still have that interview that me and the Masked Maniac did with Jake the Snake Roberts about 12, 13 years ago. Jake Roberts talked about the psychological part of wrestling. And he said that, you know, the psychology aspect, it's almost like making love to, you know, in his case, a woman. You know, like you want to, like, he described it so beautifully. I mean, it made sense. But that's the thing. You want to tease. You know, he wants to hit your emotional strings. And if Bray Wyatt pulls this off, you know, especially he gets a little bit more creative freedom that Vince McMahon would not give him, you know, this is going to be artwork in front of us. You know, remember WrestleMania night? Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. What was the big debate? Kevin and I had that WrestleMania weekend. His favorite match of the two was Undertaker versus AJ Styles. For me, my favorite match of the two was Bray Wyatt versus John Cena. Bray Wyatt versus John Cena for me was almost like you fall asleep and you get like a wild, crazy dream, especially if you're on any type of medicinal substances or mushrooms. Like if you just had like a vivid dream that just bugged the shit out of you, that's what that cinematic match felt like for me. It was just like a psychological roller coaster. You know, Undertaker versus AJ Styles was awesome. I mean, yes, it was tons of editing and tons of takes and retakes. Undertaker has earned that for all the decades he's entertained us. Not disrespecting him with that. But Bray Wyatt versus John Cena, to me, was a masterpiece that would just psychologically took me on a ride. And I like that in wrestling. No problem with it. Think of Jake the Snake. Since we talked about Jake Roberts, think of all the vignettes with him and the Ultimate Warrior. Trust me. Trust me. I respect you, Snake Man. You know, we had vignettes week after week after week. Jake Roberts wasn't really wrestling much at that time until Ultimate Warrior got stuck in that cage or whatever it was, that room with all the snakes. And he got bit. Remember when we joked, we played the audio and it sounded like sex, and then Ultimate Warrior looks up and the Undertaker is there and you have Paul Bearer going like this. That's awesome. And that had nothing to do with wrestling. And it led to the Ultimate Warrior wrestling. I mean, anybody really like amazed with Ultimate Warrior matches? That was one of the best storylines in my lifetime as a kid watching wrestling. And the Ultimate Warrior was one half of that. So trust me, those weren't five-star matches. They weren't even three-star matches. I didn't give a shit. Fucking loved it. Loved it. So there is room on a show for Bray Wyatt to focus more on the psychological part of what he's doing than the physical part. You know, we'll see what happens. If WWE was a one-hour show every week and Bray took up 15 minutes of it, then I'd bitch. You're talking a 2-3 hour show, pay-per-view. I think we have room for it. We'll see what happens. So I'm out of here, everyone. Bye.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.